Shalom, everybody. In Parashas Va'era, we begin hearing about the Makos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings on the Mitzrim in Mitzrayim. We hear about most of the Makos in this week's Parsha, and we'll hear about the rest of them in next week's Parsha. One of the Makos that we hear about in this week's Parsha, the fourth Makah, is the Makah of Arov, of animals, of wild animals. However, with regard to this Makah, it's not really clear what impact the animals had on the Egyptians. It can't be that they killed anybody, or a lot of people at least, or else we would have heard of a tsa'aka gedola, a loud scream, like we're going to hear in next week's parsha when it comes to hear about makas bechoros. What exactly did these animals do? The Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Rav Chaim Ben Attar, who died in 1743, and other Mefarshim say that the Makah of Arov meant that the homes of the Egyptians were literally filled to capacity with wild animals. However, we must ask, what's so bad about that? It's definitely inconvenient, but it doesn't seem to compare to the makos of blood and of lice, and certainly not of makas bechoros. And the same question can be asked about frogs and about other makos that don't seem to really be terrible. They seem to be inconvenient, but they don't seem to be terrible, especially when we compare these makos to the maka, for example, of makas bechoros. So what exactly was so terrible about Arov that animals filled the homes of the Egyptians? These questions are asked by Rav Sinai Adler. Rav Adler died in the year 2020. He was a Holocaust survivor, a tremendous Talmud Chacham, a prolific author, wrote many Sfarim, and these questions are found in his Sefer on the Chumash, Dvar Sinai, and Rav Adler says the following idea. If we go back to the beginning of Sefer Bereishis to Parshas Noach, Hashem blessed Noach by saying in Sefer Bereishis Perek Tes Pasuk Beis that Hashem promised mankind that there would be a fear and dread of mankind instilled in all the wild beasts of the earth, all the birds of the sky, and all that will walk the land, and all the fish in the sea. Hashem says, "Biyedchem nitanu." I have placed them in your hands. And this promise of Hashem tells us that the animals will have a relative fear around people. Rashi Rav Shlomo Yitzchaki, who died in 1105, says there on that pasuk, based on the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos Daf Kuf Nun Aleph Amud Beis, excuse me, that as long as a baby, even a one-day-old baby, is alive, you don't have to guard it against the attacks of mice. Whereas, says Rashi, based on the Gemara, even Og Melech HaBashan, a huge, strapping warrior, when he dies, his body needs to be guarded against the attacks of mice. Excuse me, there is a certain dignity and dominance that humans have over animals. However, when it came to the Makah of Arov of wild animals, that dignity, that dominance were removed. You, Paro, are not human. You don't exercise supremacy over the animals. You are a nothing. You're invisible. You mean nothing. Animals that used to fear you roam free over all boundaries, over all borders. And that kind of psychological pain, nullifying one's existence and diminishing one's value, that is a painful plague equal to any physical pain the Egyptians experienced with other makos. It's a very powerful message that we have to hear, not only to understand the psukim, but also to understand and to internalize how important it is for us to help someone else feel good, to feel in control, to feel valuable, and not, God forbid, the opposite. Rav Adler does not say the following, but perhaps one can suggest that this is very similar to what the Shla says. The Shla is an acronym for the Sefer Shnei Luchos Habris, written by Rav Yeshaya Halevi Horowitz, who died in 1630. He says the following in his Siddur. The Shla there says that there are four realms of creatures in the world. There's minerals, vegetables, animals, and on top we have humans. And the Shla says that each level rules over the lower level. And who sits on top? Humans. And we do a lot of things to express that dominance. And especially, says the Shla, we make leather shoes, and we wear leather shoes. And that's special, and that's what we must do. However, says the Shla, when someone is sitting Shiva, God forbid, what do? they take off their shoes. Or last year on Tisha B'Av, I mean, Hashem, not this year, but last year on Tisha B'Av, we took off our shoes. On those terribly sad days, we are reminded, you do not exercise supremacy over the animals. Take off your shoes. You don't rule over anyone. An avel can feel invisible. He or she, chas v'shalom, can feel low on the totem pole of creation. And then eventually, in the right time and in the right way, they get up. They dust themselves off and put their shoes back on. That's what happens to avelim, God forbid. And God willing, that will happen to us soon. Long, Emir Tzashem, long before next Tisha B'Av. Have an amazing day, everyone.